All righty. Well, hopefully, I was hoping Jerry Condon, the president, would be on. So hopefully he'll come on a little bit later. I'm Michael McPherson. I'm the executive director of Veterans for Peace. And this is, I don't know if this is our fourth or fifth monthly call. What we're trying to do each month is have chapter contacts and VFP organizers, and people who are organizing with VFP, so not necessarily members, but generally members, come on to a call so we can talk about what we're doing, what's coming up, and people can share their own experiences and what they're doing within their chapters. We're going to do introductions. I'm going to go through the agenda real quick. We're going to have introductions where everybody goes around and says who they are, what chapter they're from. If you want to share your military service, that's fine as well. Then we're going to hopefully talk about the Trump military parade. But if Jerry's not on.
I'm on.
Okay, good. Then we can go over that since he's here. We'll go over Armistice Day very quickly. We don't have a lot of updates for that. Some reminders about the convention coming up in St. Paul. Then chapter and other organizers would like to share some of their work and what they're doing. We'll do that. And then six, we'll talk about moving forward if we have any plans or anything that we need to talk about. So I'll just start off again. I'm Michael McPherson, executive director. I'm in chapter 61 here in St. Louis. I'm an Army veteran, and I'm in a few other chapters because I've moved around a little bit. So I want to start off on the East Coast just to divide it up and give people opportunity, and I'll go through each time zone. So anyone from the East Coast on the phone?
Sure. Will here from New Hampshire Veterans for Peace, Chapter 62, the A.J. Musty chapter.
Awesome.
So, United States Navy, 61 to 63, the Cuban Missile Crisis. My ship was
Thanks.
The USS Okinawa.
Thank you, Will. Appreciate
yep.
it. Anyone yep. else on the East Coast?
Doug Stewart,
Go
Smedley
ahead.
Butler, Boston.
Thank you, Doug.
Ken Jones, Asheville, 099.
Thank you.
Jack Gilroy, Stu Naismith, Chapter 90. We know who a lot of people are, but Stu was the grandson of the founder of the game of basketball and started our group in 2003. We're upstate New York.
Ooh. Wow.
Well, I did not know that.
Thanks, Jack. Okay. Anyone else?
Jesse Medvin, Chapter 47, Western PA.
Thank you. Anyone else on the East Coast? All right. I guess Central Time, other than myself.
Isn't Larry Johnson, Minneapolis, Chapter 27?
Thank you, Larry. Anyone else, Central Time?
And then I'm Samantha from the National VFP chapter here in St. Louis. Or, sorry,
Great.
Headquarters. I apologize.
Thank you, Samantha. If you're not speaking, you probably should put your phone on mute. Okay. Anyone else? Central Time? All righty then. Mountain Time? Anyone Mountain Time? Okay. Then Pacific Time?
Michael Lindley, Chapter 7. Navy veteran.
Thank you,
Justin Loza. Justin Loza, Chapter 46 out in Monterey, California, Air Force 2005 to 2011.
Thank you.
Jerry Condon, Board President of Veterans for Peace. I'm a Vietnam era veteran and war resister, and right now on the northern coast of California chasing after the Golden Rule Peace Boat.
Thank you, Jerry. Anyone else specific?
Yes. My name is Maurice Martin, and I'm on the board of directors of Veterans for Peace, and I'm from Berkeley, California, Chapter 162, and U.S. Army, 1970s, and I served in Central America.
Thank you, Maurice. Anyone else? All right. So we're done with introductions. Looks like we're heavy on the East and West Coast. Let's see if we can work on that, filling in the middle some, next call. So at this point, next on the agenda was the Trump military parade. So, Jerry, would you like to pick up that, please?
Sure. I actually just got off a call an hour ago with the weekly meetings now of the No Trump Military Parade Coalition, of which Veterans for Peace is part, along with about 80 other organizations who signed on. So some of you, or maybe all of you, know that Trump several months ago announced he wanted to have a big military parade in Washington, D.C. Initially, it was going to be scheduled to be on Sunday, November 11th, the 100th anniversary of the armistice that ended World War I. Of course, Armistice Day and Veterans Day. Since then, they've changed up on that, and they're now planning to have the military parade on Saturday, November 10th. So for a number of months, groups have been meeting. Actually, there have been a number of veterans groups and military families have had a number of their own meetings. And we're part of a larger coalition of quite a few groups coming together. And so what's being planned in general is shaping up to be a potentially a very big weekend. You know, it could end up being the biggest protest we've had against Trump, unless, of course, you count the Women's March and March for Our Lives and a few others. At any rate, it's shaping up to be potentially very big. What's being planned now is, first of all, on Friday evening, November 9th, a concert, peace concert, on the Mall. And Code Pink has taken the lead in organizing this, but a number of other groups are helping out. They're actually reaching out to some major musical acts, and I hope it'll be a pretty big deal. It's going to be coinciding with something called Catharsis, which is kind of it's new to me, but the way it's been described is kind of like a Burning Man type of affair with kind of counterculture, anti-establishment art displays. That in itself is expected to attract thousands of people to Washington, D.C., that weekend, and the No Trump Parade folks have been talking with the Catharsis people, and there's a lot of collaboration going on, so there'll be some pretty significant synergy there, and people are invited to have their own No Trump Military Parade art installations as part of that Catharsis, which is going to be a whole bunch of stuff going down on the Mall. But in particular, we'll be collaborating on a Friday evening concert. It'll begin like at maybe 5 p.m. and have live music all the way to midnight or beyond. So that's Friday night. And part of what people will be doing as part of the art for that Friday night is making banners and posters for the protest the following day. Okay, so the protest the following day will be the major part of the weekend. And it'll take all kinds of different forms, mostly family-friendly, safe environment. There'll be some direct action. That would be nonviolent direct action, almost certainly. The Trump No Trump Military Parade has begun to discuss the possibility of organizing some direct action in a way that would whether it's be, let me put it this way, there'll be plenty of space and opportunity for people who don't want to be anywhere near the direct action, which, you know, as nonviolent as it tends to be, his plan sometimes becomes confrontational. And whether or not the No Trump Military Parade itself, the coalition actually organizes its own direct action, which isn't totally clear yet, I think it's a safe bet that some people will be doing a variety of direct action along the parade route that day. Otherwise, there'll be a lot of creative protesting. We'll have our own staging area, and we'll have speakers, and we'll have music. And Code Pink is actually negotiating right now to get the big baby Trump blimp over from, which is, I think, coming over to the U.S. anyway. I read today somewhere that, that it's being brought over to the U.S. for something. They're going to try to get it there for the parade that day. So who knows how big that parade, the organizers are beginning to develop petitions, outreach, media, and also working with the D.C. City Council, which is not too enthused. There's not a whole lot of enthusiasm for this parade. It seems like the only one in the world that really wants it is Trump. The polls of active duty military show there's little support for it. There's not too much enthusiasm anywhere, and so we're trying to really build on the fact that there isn't really support for it to build broad opposition to it. There's still going to be an attempt to stop it from happening before it starts. More than likely, it'll end up going ahead, and there'll be all kinds of interesting protests happening on that day, which the veterans and military families will participate in. But on Sunday, the 11th, which is Veterans Day, Armistice Day, there will be a separate, distinct veteran and military family-led activity. And right now what's being discussed is a silent march among the various war memorials. There's various war memorials there, the Vietnam War, the Korea War, World War I, World War II, and even the Civil War. And people are talking about also having people representing the civilian victims of war, to have them representing the 22 veterans who kill themselves every day. I understand that's actually veterans and active duty combined. That's what I learned recently. To have, you know, a lot of kind of people representing mourning for all the deaths of war. There's also discussion of having a theme, an additional theme, that Saturday would be divest from war and Sunday would be invest in war. People are playing with various things. There's a lot of energy, a lot of good ideas, a lot of a growing variety of groups involved. I'm sure there'll be a table about this and discussion about it at the VFP convention in August. Unfortunately, it's still several months off. It's not until November. So we have a chance to make it big and beautiful and strong, even while no doubt a lot of VFP chapters will be doing their own home community Armistice and Veterans Day events that same weekend. So we certainly don't expect everybody to come to D.C. On the other hand, it would be really good to have a very large and significant veterans presence in D.C. that weekend. Any questions?
This is Doug Stewart, Smedley Butler in Boston. The permitting for this, is that in hand? Is it in route? Who's handling that?
Yeah, Answer Coalition has snapped up a bunch of permits as soon as this thing was announced several months ago, and they're part of this overall effort. So we have permits covering all the contingencies along the potential parade route. And actually, the route is going to be from or to, people are not sure which direction it's going, but it's going to go between the White House and the Congress.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is Justin out in Monterey. Question about the reasons why we're going to have the counter-protest. So when I encounter it here, we're planning to do stuff locally as well. But, you know, the reasons why, from my perspective at least, is because I don't want Trump to capture our, you know, to build our, capture our patriotism for his nationalism. And I think that that's a good why for me, but I don't know what's the why for the group from VFP's perspective.
Good question. Let me see if I can answer that. Well, I think that, first of all, people feel that for the U.S., to have a military parade. I mean, it's one thing for a small country, to get out there and strut their stuff and show that they have the ability to defend their country. But for the world's largest superpower to stage a visible military parade at this time is seen as an insult and a threat to the entire world. That's the way the organizers have been discussing this, and that's why they think it would be better to stop it before it starts. And unfortunately, the efforts to actually stop it before it starts have not been very strong to date, and they're just finally getting that stuff going. But that's what they've been talking about from the beginning. Was they thought this is a danger statement and a threat to the entire world, and that it's a, you know, statement of U.S. militarism. Which is, everybody knows the world, the U.S. has the biggest and strongest military, so what's the point in having this parade except just stroking Trump's ego and threatening the rest of the world with more of the same? So that's kind of it. And, you know, people can phrase it in various ways. I mean, Military Families Speak Out now is pushing this theme of the need to divest from the military and invest in human needs.
Thank you.
I guess that's
right.
Also, the theme is reclaiming, you know, the military. The No Trump Parade Coalition has actually adopted Veterans for Peace. One of Veterans for Peace's campaigns or slogans, and that's to reclaim Armistice Day. So to make that a day of peace instead of a day of war.
Yeah, one other thing I would think that we might want to compare to North Korea when they had their parade, you know, their military parade, or other countries that are similar to it. That way, you know, we'll show the similarities of how ridiculous it really is.
Mm-hmm. Who's that, Michael Lindley?
Yeah, that's Michael.
Hi, Michael.
Just for people's information, on our website, when it was originally announced, VFP put a statement out. Veterans for Peace condemns military parade. I can have Sam, when she sends out the notes, include a link to why, at least at that time, which was, oh, it's no date here, but a few months ago, on what we were saying as to why we're against the parade.
Thanks, sir. Appreciate it.
Okay.
This is Will.
Jack Gilroy of Binghamton Chapter 90. Just a clarification, Jerry. You said we'll have our own staging area. Is this in conjunction with other groups like Code Pink, or will there be a Veterans for Peace staging?
No, a good question. No, it'll be a coalition staging area. So for all the groups that are involved, not a separate VFP thing. Although...
Okay.
VFP will certainly have a major role, especially on Sunday, helping to lead the Veterans and Military Families vigil. But that won't necessarily require a staging area as such. We're gonna stage ourselves, temporarily at each of the different war memorials.
Jerry,
good.
Question.
Yeah.
Will Thomas from New Hampshire.
Hi, Will.
Yeah, the question logistically in terms of that on Saturday, the Trump parade, do we know the route and what will be our route, and will they intersect in any way?
Okay.
They'll
be on two different days. So the Trump parade route is between the White House and the Congress. And then that's on Saturday. And then on Sunday, the veteran and military family-led Silent March will be on the mall.
Okay, so on Saturday, BFP and other peace groups will not be in any sort of organized parade on Saturday.
No, not a parade as such. We'll be protesting along the parade route.
Right, right, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Just a comment, Jerry, Jack Gilroy from Binghamton. I really appreciate the fact that you're pulling in civilian victims of war and suicides. Mm-hmm. I really feel, I think a lot of people that I work with feel that this has to be a major focus, you know, for us on November 11th or any days preceding that.
Yeah, I think that's going to make it a much more powerful action as well.
Jerry, this is Michael. Was there discussion about buses? We've had some people ask, call our national office and ask about transportation. You know, mm-hmm. when we start organizing buses and things like that.
Yeah, there was some initial discussion going on about transportation in buses today, so it's being considered and looked into. But I had to jump off the call right about then, and I don't know exactly what's. But I'll look into it. And these, by the way, these calls are weekly calls. They're every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern time now. Those going to be, so those who are interested can contact me, Jerry Condon at veteransforpeace.org, G-E-R-R-Y-C-O-N-D-O-N at veteransforpeace.org, and I'd be happy to share the call-in info with you in case you think you might want to be involved in some of these planning calls.
Jerry, before I feel like I have to ask, how many people for one organization do they want on the call? I mean, usually when...
Well, they don't want a whole lot of... No, but I'm just saying there may be people on this call who have a special interest and would want to... If they have something to contribute, they're welcome to be on the call.
All right.
But you're right. I mean, generally speaking, you got one or two people representing each organization.
Okay. All right, are there any other questions?
This is Doug Stewart, Smedley Butler. This isn't directly on the topic, but in my mind, I'm wondering what people are thinking about Cindy Sheehan's march, the Women's March on the Pentagon in October, and how this relates to our activities.
Actually, I'm really glad you asked that, because there is a tie-in that's being made. Veterans for Peace is one of many groups who've endorsed the Women's March on the Pentagon, which is being headed up by Cindy Sheehan. They're going to be having actions on October 20th and 21st. On Saturday the 20th, they're going to have some educational workshops. On Sunday the 21st, they're going to have a protest rally in the parking lot of the Pentagon. They're trying to get permits for that right now, I'm told. And then they want to kind of make a linkage to the No Trump Military Parade protests, and so they're going to maintain a daily vigil at the Pentagon beginning on October 20th, 21st, right through until the weekend of the November 10th and 11th, so that they can kind of link those two actions. So they will be linked, and there's yet some more synergy that's going to be taking place at that time. It'll be pretty interesting to see how it all works out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Great. So I guess at this point we can move on to Armistice Day. And clearly you heard some of the plans that are starting to develop when it comes to Armistice Day. Because we'll be there, hopefully in good numbers and strength. But we also know that people will be remembering Armistice Day back in your chapters. So we are continuing to develop materials and looking forward to, or asking, I should say, chapters and organizers to let us know what kinds of materials you might want from us. And what you're doing now, because some people are holding Armistice Day events and vigils leading up to Armistice Day. So, Sam, do you have some updates or anything you'd like to share?
Not a ton of updates right now. I've been working on developing some additional resources, but it's kind of been put on hold as we're developing stuff for Hiroshima and Nagasaki and a couple of things that are coming up a little bit closer. But I have been sending out the link for tabling materials requests for what we've got already. And I'll send it out again if people want to submit that, and we'll send you some of the stuff that we've already gotten. We should have the link for pre-orders of T-shirts in the next week, so I'll make sure to include that link as soon as I've got it. Other than that, kind of still working on getting some more stuff put together.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions or anything they'd like to share of what they're doing for Armistice Day or kinds of materials you might like would like for us to develop?
Will
Michael,
from,
this is Jack. Go ahead.
Okay. Will, I got you, Jack. Will?
Go ahead. Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Will.
Go ahead, Will.
All right. Well, we have reached out, and we're, of course, now a very small chapter, to the something called the, for the entire state, the New Hampshire Council of Churches. And their executive director, a minister, has notified me that he will send out, I think in either late September or early October, the notification. He's all on board with it, thinks it's a great idea. And there are, I don't know how many churches, but a good number throughout the state, the entire state, small state, but still. And so that's a very positive thing, and I said I would get him appropriate materials to send to these various ministers and churches, and the state's largest city, the bishop of the Roman Catholic Diocese, I spoke with him. He is totally on board with it and knew all about the changeover from Armistice Day to Veterans Day in 54, I believe, during the McCarthy era, Cold War. So that was very promising. I thought the churches, with the ringing of the bells following Minnesota's Chapter 27, would be a great idea. I personally probably will not be in New Hampshire. I'll be in D.C. With a number of you for Trump's parade and, I guess, our parade on November 11th. So we are in the midst of reaching out to the religious community at this point.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. Jack?
Yeah, I just want to say that I'm pretty much committed to being in Binghamton, New York on the 11th. Would love to be in Washington, D.C., because what you guys are doing is right and proper. But one of the things we will be doing in addition to ringing bells and getting churches around the town to ring bells on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, and for Armistice Day, but we'll also have an Armistice Day flyer that will pass out along the parade route of the veterans. We've been excluded from parading because we're not a real organization, according to the other VFW and American Legion, etc. But we usually end up at the end of the parade as well. But in walking through with our banner that we just purchased last year, that states health care and education, not militarization. It's a $300 piece of vinyl that stretches pretty much across the street. But we'll also have people going along the parade route with information based on the Veterans for Peace, National Veterans for Peace invitation to join Veterans for Peace. And we'll have information about our local chapter. So I just wanted to pass that along for anyone else who's listening that might want to pick up on that, because we're really anxious to get some Afghan, Iraq vets, others, and we haven't been very successful with that, and we're thinking that maybe this might help us out, this coming November 11th.
Great. Thank you.
I do have something I forgot to mention. So on our last call, we discussed kind of creation of the materials for churches, liturgical prayers, that kind of stuff. I had someone else email me interested in helping kind of create some of those and developing them. Is there anyone that is currently working on that or would be interested in having me put them in contact with her?
Well, Samantha, this is Larry Johnson in Minneapolis. And I'm not sure what that might look like, but I think I sent you the brochure that we made this year, which, I mean, it's a little bit slanted toward Minnesota, but it certainly can be used any place, and it has the history and, you know, what the armistice is all about, and then the statement that we've always asked churches to read when they ring bells, you know, in the past, on or around November 11th. But it's certainly viable to use that. I'm guessing it's probably Will that I sent that to.
Right, you did. Thank you.
At your request. I mean, I don't know where you heard about it, but if you have something else, we'd be interested in looking at it. But we're using, you know, we're making that brochure available to anybody that's interested.
Thank you. This is Doug Stewart, Smedley Butler in Boston. I'd be interested in that brochure myself. We have some material, but we could use more, I think. In terms of what we're doing here in Boston, we have, in the last 5 or so years, been soliciting churches to participate. I think the most we've gotten is about 20. But we've been torn between what may happen in Washington and what we want to do and how much more we want to get in depth in Boston. I'm still not sure what we're going to do. One of our thoughts, we are expanding the United Church of Christ, the Mass Conference. I've gotten them. They're interested. I have to push on them. The social justice minister there is behind it, but I need to push them, and maybe this brochure could help me do that. And the Unitarian Church, we've gotten in touch, and they're on board, but we need to push that further. One of the ideas that we have is that the Veterans Day Parade in Boston is quite atrophied, and our participation in it is the most vibrant part of the parade, even though we have to stay supposedly a mile behind the official parade. So it's my idea, and we're exploring the possibility of actually applying for the permit to have an Armistice Day parade on that day. And if we don't actually get the permit, we may hope to elicit some publicity about the issue through that. That's about it.
That's great.
This is Justin in Monterey. I have a big...
Go ahead. What'd you say?
I have an update. So I was wondering if I can brainstorm with somebody either on this call or maybe sometime afterwards and just let you know what we're up to. I mean, I've spoken with our representative, and he knows what we're doing. He knows that there's going to be a counter-protest. The Peace Coalition, local Peace Coalition, is aware, and they all support it and will support us in anything that we do. And I think there's a lot of options. We have a local cemetery. You know, the silent march sounds awesome. I think that would be effective here. But I don't know about any other ideas that you guys can offer them.
If people have some thoughts you might want to share with him. And Samantha, have we, or if we haven't, we should develop a set of ideas to give to chapters that they might be able to do. Have we put that together yet?
We currently have an 11 things to do on Armistice
Day.
Yeah. So I can take a look at that and kind of see what we've got on there.
Okay. And we can send that out as part of the notes for people to be able to look at. But if anybody has any other ideas that you would like to share with I'm not sure. I'm sorry. I'm not sure who was speaking.
This is Justin Loza, chapter 46.
Okay, Justin. Thank you, Justin. If anybody has anything you'd like to share with Justin now, that'd be great. And, of course, you can reach out to him. So anybody have anything they'd like to
Justin,
share now?
This is Jack Gilroy from upstate New York. And on the last call, I believe it was last month, I don't like to go repeating stuff, but I don't think Justin was on the call. And I was
right.
telling the folks about the mock cemetery that we had at when the Veterans Parade was taking place. It was the Veterans Parade that we were not allowed, supposedly, to be a part of, but which we eventually did walk behind. We had a cemetery with 100 Iraqi tombstones. The tombstones were made out of styrofoam, and they would represent the Iraqi people who were killed. You can check out and get your own ratio, but that was about the best ratio that we had of 100 to 1. We had one American tombstone and 100 Iraqi tombstones, and that's why I mentioned before that I'm glad that Jerry and the others are talking about the civilian casualties, because very often, you know, we have mock cemeteries of American casualties, but kind of forget about the other people. So that I think can bring some attention from the media, as long as you make sure you contact the various media and let them know what you're doing.
Good. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And I'll make sure to send out the notes from our past Armistice Day planning calls as well, with the notes from this call, and so you'll be able to kind of look back on some of those as well and see what people have discussed and what chapters have done in the past and are planning on for this upcoming year.
Got it. Thank you very much. I'm really looking for like a dialogue too, you know, with people from National as well. You know, we have dialogues here locally with our chapter, but having an open dialogue I think is important, even though I know I'm catching up with, you know, everything. I will review all of the other meetings, but I like the dialogue definitely. I appreciate it.
Okay, cool. Thank you. So, Sam, before we move on to the next item, which is, what is it?
Convention.
Yeah. I think you wanted to update people on some of the stuff you were doing, that we're doing in the office for Hiroshima and Nagasaki and stuff like that.
Yeah, so we currently are developing an organizer bundle for those who are memorializing Hiroshima and Nagasaki. If anybody is attending any events, if any of your chapters are planning any events, vigils, anything like that, we'd love to know. And I've got an organizer bundle that I'm currently putting together that has kind of some postcards that you can send to Nikki Haley, the UN ambassador, that are encouraging her to urge the president to sign on to the UN nuclear weapons ban. We also have some half pages that have VFP statements on Hiroshima and Nagasaki Day, and we also have some half page flyers that have a timeline and kind of an FAQ about this nuclear weapons ban treaty. So we're getting all of that together, and I should have it done within the next week and a half or so. I have a link that I've been sending out for those who are interested in requesting those materials, and I'll make sure to send that out again as well.
Great, thank you.
Great. Jerry Stack.
Yes, Jerry.
Yeah, I don't know if you missed me, but I had to jump off and take a call from the Golden Rule. But I'm back, and I would just say that, yeah, certainly, Samantha, of course, we'll use our Golden Rule Facebook page and website and other outreach to help promote those materials for Hiroshima.
Awesome. I also have a Golden Rule half page, I forgot, that we are going to make sure to put in there as well.
Okay, terrific.
Great. Anybody else have any questions or thoughts? For Sam?
Yeah.
Yes.
On our Michael LA, you know, we're working with a coalition of groups here for Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and We I don't know if anybody's Gary. You I think you've seen it, but the chain link memorial in Santa Monica. We're going to be doing.
Yeah,
we're going to be doing a thing there. You're invited, Jerry. If you get the opportunity, anybody from CFP is invited. And we're working with this. We got a hold of these posters from a museum in Nagasaki. One of the people who we were working with has got these posters, and they're really, really emotional posters. And we're going to be putting those up, plus we're going to be doing a large 73 in our memorial. And, you know, that'll be the first time we break away from the system we have now. And so that's what we're planning to do. And I hope, you know, if anybody gets down this way, you know, I just hope that somebody would go. We spent a lot of money. We gave them a lot of money to restore that that chain link, and it was worth it. It's really looking really great right now.
Jerry's back.
Okay.
Yes, Jerry.
Yeah, I just want to say a tiny bit more about that. So, it's a sculpture that depicts a atomic mushroom cloud, it was made by the famous, well-known political cartoonist. What's his name?
Conrad.
Yeah, Conrad. And it's made out of chain. It's quite impressive. And then there was a big political struggle. It's right there by the Santa Monica City Hall. And there was quite a struggle over whether it could go there, whether it could remain there. And there's enough community support and funds raised to make it happen. So it's quite a victory, and it's a very significant statement there in Santa Monica.
It's been there now for about 10 years. And what they did is they have a garden around it now and really, really make it stand out. And at night they have lights that flash up onto the chain. Really nice.
Okay. Great. Thank you. All right. So we've been on about 45 minutes. Moving on to the convention. Real quick, you all probably know that the 33rd Annual Convention is coming up August 22nd through the 26th. It's in St. Paul, Minnesota. And the theme of the convention is We Claim Armistice Day, 1918 to 2018, End All Wars. The convention will follow pretty much the schedule that we always have, where the president's reception will be Wednesday, poetry reading also Wednesday night or evening. Then there'll be the opening plenary on Thursday. We'll have workshops. We'll have a boat cruise, which is Thursday evening. The next day, Friday, once again, plenaries, workshops, public event, where we're going to focus on our participation in the Poor People's Campaign and the intersectionality of issues. So we'll have organizers from the Minneapolis-St. Paul area that worked on the Poor People's Campaign, as well as our own people. Saturday will be the business meeting again. And, of course, we'll have the banquet Saturday night. Christine Ahn and Colonel Ann Wright will be our keynote speakers. Christine's really the keynote, and Ann will introduce her. And then we'll have the closing plenary, which will be Sunday. And we're going to have that, oh, gosh, I can't remember. Jerry, can you remember where that closing plenary is? Let me see.
That's not on. That's
around
not
my center.
Larry's on. Thank you, Larry. Go ahead.
And Landmark is one block from Kellogg Boulevard. It was the federal courthouse in the early 1900s. It's now a public events building. There are offices for a lot of arts groups, and I've been organizing World Storytelling there for a number of years, and kind of refurbished Vets for Peace, and they're thrilled to be able to have the kinds of things that Veterans for Peace does. And so that's our November 11th, our armistice event, is going to be there this year. It's too cold on November 11th on the Capitol grounds. So we're now doing a lot of things in that building.
Okay. You sound a little distorted, so I'm not sure if everybody can understand everything you said. I think I caught most of it. For some reason, you sound distorted. So I don't know if you could, and hopefully you can do it in a way that doesn't sound as distorted, but, you know, we're having our convention there at St. Paul because Senator Kellogg? Is that who it was? Is from
Secretary of State.
Secretary of State, right. Can you speak briefly about that?
Yeah, you know, it might be. I had the speakerphone on. Frank Kellogg was Secretary of State under Coolidge. He had been a Minnesota senator. He was elected just in time to vote for the U.S. to go into World War One. But then Coolidge appointed him Secretary of State. And, you know, there was this massive peace movement that, of course, came out of the original armistice. And pushed him. He and Aristide Briand in France pulled together the Kellogg-Briand Act in 1928, and you know that's what the. I mean that's the focus of a lot of the convention and certainly of that closing event. And Kellogg Boulevard is named after Frank Kellogg. But I think it's fair to say that most people in Minnesota still think it's named after cereal. Talks to you. We had an event at the house at his home about, I don't know, maybe 6 years ago when I was president, and got a fair amount of publicity, so there's more people that know what it's really about, but this will just add to the awareness of that.
Great. That's awesome. Thank you so much. So it's real significant in that we're having it there with that history and it being the 100th anniversary of Armistice Day as well. Are there any questions about the convention?
Jerry Stack.
Yes, Jerry.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that, Kellogg and I guess probably Briand also, they won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1929 for having put that pact together in 1928, which calls for basically the abolition of war. So it's pretty powerful. So the Twin Cities BFP has had their bid in for several years. I just wanted to let people know who Christine Ahn is. I think maybe a lot of people don't know her yet.
Okay.
But she's a Korean, she's going to be our banquet speaker. She's a Korean American woman who lives in Honolulu. She has taken the lead in putting together Women Cross DMZ. So it's an incredible women-led peace effort. They've actually been to South Korea repeatedly and even into North Korea a couple times to meet with women from North Korea, South Korea, and the U.S. and other countries. Anne Wright's been pretty involved with that as well. So it's been a really remarkable and successful women's-led peace effort. She's a wonderful organizer and person and a dynamic speaker, so she'll be our banquet speaker on Saturday night at the convention. And we also have a special guest, Aida Touma, who's a Palestinian journalist and member of the Israeli Knesset and a powerful speaker, and she'll be there at a plenary session on Friday morning. And also speaking at a community event separate from the convention on Sunday night, the final Sunday night of the convention. Oh, did you mention, I guess people should know about we're going to take a riverboat cruise on Thursday night?
Yeah.
And,
I didn't.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
And then a big public event on Friday night, which lots of culture and speakers and focusing on Poor People's Campaign. That's going to be a really beautiful and dynamic convention. We really want to encourage members to make a special effort to get to St. Paul at the end of August.
And I just want to remind everybody that we have a couple deadlines coming up.
Oh, yeah.
So July 22nd is the deadline to submit recommendations for both individual and chapter awards, as well as resolutions and bylaw submissions.
Okay. Great.
All right. So moving on.
This is Maurice. I have one question about the convention. Unless it's already out and I may have missed it, have the schedule come out for the workshops on times and or dates for the workshops yet? Have they been assigned
dates? I got you. No, they haven't. They'll come out in the next few days. I'm working on the schedule. The announcements will come out tomorrow for sure. The schedule might not come out to the end of the week.
Understood.
It is on Thursdays and Fridays for sure, but which days, when, hasn't come out yet.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a cold, Maurice? It sounds stuffed up.
He's
just asking.
Yeah, he's had some dental work done, so that's part.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So is there anyone that wants to share a chapter update, some stuff you're doing, or questions you might want to ask other members on the call right now, since, that's why we're here, to share with each other?
Michael, this is Ken Jones from Asheville, North Carolina.
Yes, Ken.
Hey, our chapter here and the Savannah chapter in Georgia are working together with Kathy Kelly and a number of other people to support the Plowshares action, the Kings Bay Plowshares action that was done most recently, April 4th. You all may know about that. Seven Catholic workers entered, if you know the Plowshares actions, they entered the nuclear Trident submarine facility there at Kings Bay and with a hammer and beat on models of the Trident missiles and spread blood and spray-painted messages. And so that's what Plowshares actions do. Those seven people went to jail, of course. They stayed and waited and got arrested. And four of them out on bail, three of them still in jail. They're waiting for trial. A number of us went down there, had a fast, and now we're scheduling a peace walk that will go from September 3rd to the 14th, and this is where the Savannah chapter and our chapter are working together. And the peace walk will be in support of the Plowshares action and, of course, an anti-nuclear peace walk. It starts in Savannah, goes to Kings Bay. So I wanted to make people aware of that. And also, I've asked through phone calls and emails for an endorsement from our National Veterans for Peace. There's a number of endorsements, and I'm hoping we can get that so we can advertise it.
I think all the XCOM members have now said yes, endorse. So I think you can call it good.
Okay.
So I can list.
Jack Gilroy from the Binghamton chapter, and I'll be interviewing one of the Trident Kings Bay people, Claire Grady, who was just released.
Okay.
With an ankle bracelet. She's waiting trial. And I'll have a videographer who have used many times for Veterans for Peace activities. I'll be doing the interview, and I'll be wearing my Veterans for Peace shirt, and Veterans for Peace can decide whether or not they want to use the interview. But Claire is just such a well-spoken person of great courage and honor that I think you'll see that her responses are going to be very strong and very much in line with what so many of us believe in among Veterans for Peace members.
Great.
Mm-hmm. So glad you're doing that,
Jack.
Right.
You can do this one if you like.
Okay. So, Ken, your request is before the executive committee, and I see myself four responses. I don't see one missing.
Okay.
So I'll get in touch with you tomorrow to verify that everybody has said yes, because I don't see everyone.
Okay. Thanks so much, Mike.
I see almost everyone. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, great.
Is there anyone else that would like to share something?
This is, sorry, I'm trying to get my lips together to speak.
Yeah.
This is Maurice in Tijuana right now. So tomorrow there's a contingent of Veterans for Peace members from Tijuana and on the West Coast, Nevada, Arizona. We're going to Phoenix, Arizona. There'll be some veteran issues. There'll be a number of veterans, including women veterans. I'm not sure of all the details, but we're going to be there. There's a program on Thursday night and then another program on Friday. But the reason a number of us are going is because they're going to have a panel and presentation on deported veterans. But they're also going to be talking about mental health and post-traumatic stress disorder. So I'm very excited about leaving, excited about going to Phoenix, Arizona. If anyone is in sort of in that area, you're more than welcome to come or contact me, and I'll give you the information. We're going to be at the convention center, so I'm excited about this. And lastly, I guess, then I'm through what I got my mouth going, I'll keep it going for a second. I'm really excited about these chapter calls and stuff. You kind of get bogged down, at least I do get bogged down in this stuff. I'm working on homelessness, supportive veteran, mental health stuff, and of course the VA thing is a big deal. But anyway, I listen to all you guys from various parts of the country and your chapters and the things that you work on. It's very energizing to me. So I'm very excited about these calls, and I want to do more of them. I would like to see more chapters get involved, but I'm really glad that we followed through on the board and doing more of this. I'm really excited about this as a board member to see this happening. I'm into it. So I'm energized now. So thank you, guys.
Great.
I have something,
thank you,
Michael.
Yes.
Next month, on the 11th, we are co-sponsoring a film festival for a local nonprofit named G.I. Josie that focuses on supporting women veterans. And our own Monisha Rios is going to be on the panel locally.
All
here.
Right.
Yeah.
Great. What is that?
And what's it called? What's it called again?
It's going to be the G.I. Josie Film Festival. And it's featuring a film, a few films, but the main one is Service, When Women Come Marching Home.
Cool. And where is that going to be?
That's going to be at MIST, the Middlebury Institute of International Studies, the Irvine Auditorium.
Oh, in Irvine. Okay.
Yes.
Great. Terrific.
Right. Thank you.
And, I'm sorry. What's the date? What's the date again?
August 11th from 2 to 6 p.m. And
okay,
tickets are on sale, so it's obviously they're raising money for G.I. Josie, but we're staffing it, basically. Our chapter is providing 8 people to staff it.
Excellent.
Wow, great. That's great. All right. Is there anyone else that would like to share something? Okay. So really, the next item was just moving forward. We will have a call next month. We have to figure out the date. We'll send that out. We'll be sending out the notes, just to be honest about who's doing it. And hopefully we'll get all the pieces in it that we had talked about that need to be there. I don't really have anything else to report at this time. Jerry, do you have anything you'd like to close with or something?
I don't think so, right, except to say that I second Maurice's sentiments. I think these are great, great calls, and we should pump them up and maybe make a special effort to get additional chapters on some couple of advance notice and maybe a few phone calls next time around. When will that be? Do we have a date yet?
No, we don't have a date yet.
Okay, but it's monthly, right?
Yes, it is. Yep.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All righty. Well, thank you, everybody, and we'll be talking in about a month or so.
All right.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Michael. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
All right. Take care. Bye. Feel better, Maurice.
Thank you, dear. Talk to you soon. All right. Bye-bye.